Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
We're finally back with another question of the week. It's been a little while.
So long, you forgot the name of the show.
Yeah, I did. And the question. All kinds of stuff.
What's the name of the show?
Huh? Oh, the answer of the week.
Yeah, it is.
We're finally back with the answer.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Long day. I'm tired. I almost shot Joe Patrick when he walked up. I didn't even recognize him. But regardless, we're back. My name's Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. The other one sitting across from me, you know him.
Can we start drinking, please?
In just a minute here. First, you got to introduce yourself.
My name is Joe Patrick.
Yes.
Here I am on a Wednesday night after work.
There you go. He's the head questioner on this show. What he does is he posts the question of the week on the Two-Headed Nerd forums every week. You can go there and you can answer, or you can call us at 402-819-4894, or you can send us an MP3 with your answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Regardless, no one's answer goes over 2 minutes. Okay? That's the rule. Ape shall not kill ape, and no one's answer goes over 2 minutes. That's how it rolls. Go, Patrick. Tell them what we're asking them this week.
I was trying to think of another fictional rule, but all I could think of was...
He who breaks the law goes back to the house of pain.
iRobot. This particular question came from D. Murray. I believe that this was the question that secured him...
The Goocher.
Goocher status.
Yes.
The question is, what is your favorite fictional vehicle? Should be fun.
Totally fun.
Should be easy breezy. No philosophical bullshit to deal with. Let's just get it into it.
We made a drink to go along with the question, but we do not condone drinking and driving.
No.
No.
Definitely not.
So what we made is what we're calling a bourbon fantasticar. It is a bourbon sidecar. An egg white, some bourbon, about 3 parts bourbon, 1 part lemon juice, 1 part simple syrup. You pour it all in. You do a mime shake first with the egg yolk, which means you shake it with nothing in it. Shake, shake, shake. Ice cubes go in. Everything else goes in. Shake, shake, shake. Pour and strain so you don't get any lemon seeds. Excelsior.
Excelsior. Eggs in my drink. What
the fuck? Woo! That is loverly. Makes it creamy. Tart. Sweet.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Yum!
That's good.
Yeah. The bourbon fantasticar.
Is there even any booze in this?
Yeah.
Quite
a bit. More booze than anything else.
Yeah, it's super fruity, though.
Let's go to our man, Damon, pounding the pavement of Brooklyn, man in the streets.
Or is he?
Hey, guys, Damon from Brooklyn, not calling in from the mean streets of Manhattan this week. I am currently upstate on vacation. It's relatively quiet up here. I'm just relishing it while I can. Uh-huh. I know I'll be back to pounding the pavement in Manhattan.
It's quiet upstate.
Soon enough, you know, dodging cars and trucks and stuff like that.
Hamilton reference.
But yeah, isn't that what this week's question is about?
Shut up.
Our favorite fictional vehicles. My answer has to be the Batmobile. It's the first answer that popped up in my head because as I thought about it, I realized that, you know, from pretty much I've been reading comics, it is the vehicle that has been the most in the forefront of a particular character. Pretty much when you have a Batman, you have a Batmobile. And it always reflects the type of Batman that's being portrayed. In the movies, you know, you had like the Dark Knight trilogy, for example, by Christopher Nolan. You had kind of a tank meets SUV, very grounded reality, kind of like the Nolan Batman movieverse. And, you know, on the other side, you have the, you know, the Adam West version, which was kind of cool. It looked kind of cool. I still think it looks awesome with the, you know, the dual pod with like Batman and Robin, like their little seats there. But most of the gadgets on there were very campy and slightly impractical. I mean, you have firecrackers in the trunk for crying out loud. And, you know, it's just always a reflection of Batman. And, you know, no matter, like I said, it's always in the forefront because you do know that no matter whether it's in the comics or the movies, you are going to get a different version of the Batmobile. And most of the time, they always reflect, you know, for better or worse, whether you like that version of Batman or not, you're always going to get a version that reflects the character. Because of that reason, I have to go with the Batmobile. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Joe Patrick, what is your favorite Batmobile?
Oh, Mabel. She just wants to be pet. My favorite Batmobile is probably, you know, I like the Batmobile. I think it's cool and everything, but honestly, you don't really see it that often
anymore.
These days.
Yeah, anymore you really don't.
My favorite Batmobile is probably the one that I was first introduced to when I was getting into comics in the 80s, and that's like the Jim Aparo,
okay,
long, you know, sedan,
okay,
with very almost like a bat face, yeah, on the hood.
Very similar to mine. Mine's the animated Batmobile.
Oh, I love the animated Batmobile.
Oh, I love, I love it.
I like the animated Whenever the Batmobile is too long, I always think, oh God, how impractical that is.
Yeah, like, how does that thing turn?
Right. And the animated Batmobile is kind of like that.
It's ridiculous.
Close runner-up in my mind is the Norm Breyfogle Batmobile from the 90s, which was super cool looking.
That one was really cool.
But whenever I think of the Batmobile, really, like, I kind of picture that Aparo-era Batmobile with the face on it.
As much as I didn't care for a lot of Jim Lee's Batman, like, it was very pretty, but there were some story elements that I had a problem with, the Batmobile that Jim Lee drew was amazing. Yeah. It was super cool.
Oh, and when I say the face on the Batmobile, it didn't occur to me. I don't mean like the literal huge metal cutout face that was on like the older
right,
Batmobiles.
Right, right.
I mean, like, there's a silhouette painted on the hood, like a
like
a design.
Yeah, it's neat.
It's neato.
The Batmobile is awesome. Hey, guess who's back? It's the old timer, Gregory Litchfield. Glad he's still around. He's pretty old. I thought maybe we lost him. I don't know.
Greetings, two-headed nerds. This is Gregory Litchfield, the THN old-timer, checking in to answer the question of the week. Being a child of the 60s, there were only two cars that I would have sold my 8-year-old soul to drive. Of course, one of those is the 66 Batmobile. However, believe it or not, my favorite car to drive would have been Speed Racer's Mach 5.
Mach 5.
If you don't believe me that the Mach 5 was the hottest thing on wheels, then maybe you'll believe Speed himself.
These are the controls of the most powerful and amazing racing car in the world, the Mach 5. Control A releases powerful jacks to boost the car. Control B, press this button and the Mach 5 sprouts special grip tires for traction over any kind of terrain. Control C, for use when I have to race over heavily wooded terrain. Powerful rotary saws are protruded from the front of the Mach 5 to slash and cut any and all obstacles. This is control button D, which when pressed releases a powerful deflector which seals the cockpit into an air-conditioned, bullet and crash-proof and watertight E, the control for special illumination, which enables me to see much further, this is control F, which I use when the Mach 5 is underwater. Control G releases a homing robot from the front of the car. The homing robot can carry pictures or tape recorded messages to whomever and wherever I want to send them.
Thanks, Speed. Keep pushing it full throttle, Matt and Joe. This is Greg Litchfield saying, enough said.
This is control cheat, where I press the cheat button to win any race in any situation I'm in. I did love the Mach 5. It was so cool. I used to love Speed Racer. I even liked the Speed Racer movie.
You know what? A lot of people like the Speed Racer movie. I have not seen it.
It was wild, man.
Just because it's so true to the spirit of Speed Racer.
Yeah, that's what and like people saw it, like made fun of it for that. And well, like what else did you want to see like an extreme Speed Racer? I certainly didn't. Like, I had a lot of fun with it. I think it was, tragically doomed, and like I don't know who it was made for.
Well, it's a Wachowski movie, right? So like it had probably a huge budget.
Oh yeah, it was gigantic.
So I never really watched Speed Racer growing up, but I did really love the song Mach 5 by the Presidents of the United States of America, which is not actually about Speed Racer's Mach 5, but I always thought it was.
No, it was not.
Because in the song, the car is blue.
I used to watch Speed Racer when I was very, very young. It was replayed like early in the morning before cool cartoons. I would watch it. Loved it. Let's go. D. Murray, the man with the question, the Goocher himself. See if Stony D shows up.
How's it going, guys? D here answering your question of the week that I asked.
Under the weather.
Wait, does that matter? Anyways, my answer for you has to be Stargate. From the movie to Stargate, you can go to different planets, whatever you want. You just put a couple of coordinates into the chevrons and bippity boppity, you're good to go. I almost said Doctor Who phone booth time machine, you know, because it's bigger on the inside.
It's got an AMD.
That's what she said. Wait, is that offensive?
Maybe. Satire.
Thanks, satire. I heard if you said satire after you make an offensive joke, it's not offensive anymore.
No, you have to say locker room talk. Locker room talk.
Locker room talk.
No.
Grab it by the satire.
Oh, no. All right. Here's your Goocher status saying, take it easy until next time, dudes. Dater.
Oh, man. See, he wasn't Stony D in that call, but he's slipping still, to Stony D persona.
Yeah. But he said he was sick.
Yes.
So, you know.
All right. I'm not going to argue about whether or not the Stargate is a vehicle.
Stargate counts. It takes you places.
It's a portal.
Yeah, but you go to a place through it. I would count it. It's a thing, and you use it to travel.
Mm-hmm. It's a portal.
I get it.
You don't sit in it and ride.
Not okay. That's also valid.
Yeah, I know.
That is also valid.
But D asked the question, and it's a great question, and I'm going to let him have it.
I'm only going to let him have it because he's the Goocher.
Because I feel like...
You got the Gooch.
I feel like my answer also sort of stretches the definition of the term vehicle as we are using it.
Are you going to say the Flash is time?
No.
Okay, good. That's stupid. The time treadmill.
The cosmic treadmill?
Yeah.
And no.
Whatever. Okay, good. Okay. Is the cosmic treadmill? Stupid. Let's go to Jason Sexier.
You're stupid.
Just made an appearance on this week's show. We love this guy, the THN historian, Jason Sexier.
Hey guys, Jason Sexier. Long time no call. Sorry about that. Miss you guys and all my fellow callers. I'm going to go with Metron of the New Gods and his Mobius chair.
Nice.
That spans dimensions and gives him amazing wisdom.
No better than the cosmic treadmill. So
desk at work, now that I think of it, browsing the internet, except your boss doesn't get mad at you. Metron can even drag plants behind his chair, which makes it the most awesome chair ever. Also, how great is it that Jack Kirby created a character whose main power is sitting in a chair, expanding cosmic wisdom? That sounds a little like me. Thanks. Bye, guys.
No way. The Mobius chair is way cooler than the time treadmill.
I'm saying as an idea, it's no stupider.
It's awesome. No. What are you talking about? No, the Mobius chair kicks ass. I love that answer.
I love it, too. I love the Mobius chair.
That's a great answer. Nice job, Sexier. Go to Paul Tatro. He says, this question was so friggin' hard, but I had to go with my gut. You know what we call guts on this show? Butts.
Hey guys, so what can I do to get you in a vehicle today? You look like practical fellas, how about a nice family vehicle? We have this van we just took on trade. This machine is a bit of a mystery. If you can get past the stale smell of pot and the upholstery and the flower paint job, I can make you a killer deal.
Nice, no? Nice.
Oh, okay. How about the, let's see, over here on this side we have the, how about this? The Carillion Freighter. I've heard people in the industry call it the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy. Yeah, you're right. It's a little on the bulky side. Hard to parallel park. Never mind. How about something with style? Something that flies. Something that takes you back to the future. Yes, that's it. The DeLorean. We've got great rates on that model right now. Heck, I'll even throw in a case of plutonium. What do you think? Do we have a deal? Great. Now let me get the keys.
Pause for this
thing out
yes.
For a spin.
Sorry.
Wait, what? Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
That's a great answer.
Well done. If you'd let us know that we were going to have to play act in advance, we would have been ready for that.
Like, yes. Sorry. The Back to the Future DeLorean.
Love it.
Kick ass answer. I love that one. I used to build that thing with Legos. Oh, so cool. Love the Back to the Future DeLorean. Got to see it at a car show once, too. Also, the 66 Batman.
Batmobile was it. I saw the 66 Batmobile when I was very young. We used to go to auto shows all the time because they used to have auto shows at the Civic Auditorium.
Yeah, I used to go, too, because there was always wrestlers there.
Yeah.
And, for some reason, the auto show.
I don't know that this was in the same year, but... I got to meet Adam West and Burt Ward.
That's cool.
And I got to sit in Kit.
Yeah, I got to sit in Kit once. I think I went to that show.
I have a photo of me and my sister sitting in Kit.
I met Sergeant Slaughter and I got to meet, Daisy from the Dukes of Hazzard, and I got to sit in the Dukes of Hazzard car.
Oh,
it was
awesome. The General Lee was at that General auto show. Lee.
I think we're at the same one.
Awesome.
That's so cool. Daisy did not look so great. I remember that. I
was like, no, this would have been right after the Dukes of Hazzard was on the air.
She was not as pretty as I remember.
Oh my gosh. I don't think Sergeant Slaughter would have been at that show though. That was pre Sergeant Slaughter being on WWF.
Sergeant Slaughter has been around a long time, dude.
Really?
Really long time. Right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sergeant Slaughter is like 70.
Well, yeah, I know,
he's
but
an old dude.
Like, I don't remember him running around with Hulk Hogan and Superfly Jimmy Snuka and all that stuff.
He was right there. Yes.
He wasn't on Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Yes, he was. And that was the height of his power.
No, the height of his power is when they made him a G.I. Joe character.
Well, that's up for discussion, I guess. I'll tell you, William the Refrigerator Perry was not at the height of his power when he got on the G.I. Joe team. Anyway. Let's go to the Ket Nerd. Mr. Jimmy Kettner.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Kettner here. Well, guys, my favorite fictional vehicle is probably one of the weirdest ones out there. It's so odd that when I first encountered it as a kid, I actually thought it was pretty dumb. But this was before I became fully immersed in the awesomeness of Jack Kirby's Fourth World. I'm talking about the Astro Glider, or I've seen other folks online calling it the Astro Harness. In any case, it's that amazing tangle of crackling cosmic Kirby technology that Orion of the New Gods is always zipping around on. And have you ever taken a good look at that thing? It's f***ing nuts. And I love all the excessive randomness of Kirby tech packed onto it. All twists of chrome metal and alien gadgetry that I suppose must serve some sort of purpose, but we all know that they're really there because it just looks so damn cool. Kirby design was a lot of things, but sleek isn't one of them. And this device really accentuates all the clunky joy of how he saw technology. And that's why, as much as I love Cliff Chang's art, I wasn't really into his redesign of Orion for the New 52.
No.
Sure was clean, but it turned something that was the ray gun festoon chariot of an amazing space god into something mundane, like a space Segway. The Kirby version, though, is tops, and it is a joy when I get to see artists like Walt Simonson, Mike Mignola, or Paul Pope take a crack at drawing it. I also think it's kind of interesting that in the late 70s, Kirby was all about having his flying characters zip around on discs and gliders and skis or chairs rather than that typical Superman pose. The Astro Harness, though, has Scott Free, the Black Racer, and Metron beat, and it is the most awesome vehicle created for the comics page. Anyways, guys, that's it for me this week. If you want to hear more, check out my podcasts, Adult Crash and Galacticus, which is finally coming back from hiatus. And you can always find my comics and illustrations at ketnerd.com. Thanks.
Nice. Again, you guys, you got to tell us what the songs are so we can put them on the soundtrack.
He did it in his...
No, he didn't.
In his note, in his email.
Oh.
He said, hey, sorry.
Oh, there it is below. Okay.
Yeah.
But the... Tatro did not. Shame on you, Paul. Regardless, the Astro Harness. I always thought, like, Orion was supposed to be this badass warrior, like this unstoppable badass son of Darkseid, like he's insane. And he had this weird little harness thing that he flew around on with Raycon.
It's like, yeah, it was awesome. It
did not exactly instill terror. You
know? Then you weren't paying attention.
I love it, but it was so ridiculous. It's a great answer. It's just such a dumb vehicle. I really like it, though. I hate that I picked a toy line, says John Luttrell, but my heart overruled my brain. I know what it is.
Hey, guys. I had a hard time deciding on this one. I was bouncing back and forth. I was choosing a lot of spaceships and things of that sort. And I even went to a much more realistic tank that I was going to pick. I was actually going to pick the G.I. Joe Marauder or the Hammer Humvee. But I ended up going with the G.I. Joe Cobra Hiss, which is an acronym for a high-speed sentry. You know, if you played G.I. Joe in the 80s, you probably recognize it. It was the Black Cobra tank with the giant windshield
so cool.
And the open turret where the operator was just going to get blasted to hell. Yeah, both those were probably not the best ideas for tanks. But it was so cool. To me, like, it was just this slick, kind of dumpy, okay, not even just kind of, fully on dumpy black tank that Cobra used with two tracks and these giant twin blasters on the top. And then, you know, we got a whole bunch of different versions over the years with all the different G.I. Joe lines and whatnot. I never actually saw the live action movie version, but the still shots of what I've seen of it are kind of badass, since they have these two craned arms lifting up the giant single cannon on this version, which, again, kind of dumb and impractical, but whatever. I loved it.
The hiss was so cool.
That's the hallmark of G.I. Joe vehicles, is dumb and impractical.
Yeah, the hiss was so... Well, no, it was like... It seemed like G.I. Joe had a bunch of extremely practical military vehicles.
Well, G.I. Joe...
And Cobra had
At first...
Bonkers vehicles.
At first, G.I. Joe had very normal, like,
yeah,
tank, Jeep,
yeah,
F-16 jet.
No, they got into some weird stuff.
And then as it progressed, it's like... Weird sci-fi submarine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Helicopter with, for some reason, two rotor blades, yeah, one in the front and one in the back.
Well, Hueys have that.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Giant rolling fortress.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
that
that's
was
a
stupid
long tube.
That was really dumb.
Space shuttle that rides
that
in
space
a gigantic
ass
box on wheels.
I don't want to hear about it. That space shuttle kicked ass.
I know, it is awesome.
Hold on. Which you got to admit, from day one, the Cobra vehicles were just nuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were
and I love
so
them
nuts.
I love the Hiss tank. I love that.
The only vehicle they had that made any sense was like the Wombat. What was it? It was the blue.
The Rattler.
The Rattler.
The Cobra Rattler, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
with the
man
wings that turned
up. It was like an A-10 Thunderbolt. Oh, my God. That thing was so awesome.
They have, I can't remember what it's called. It's either called the Wasp or the Fang or something else. I think the Fang is the Jeep, but Cobra has a helicopter, but it's a tiny helicopter, mm-hmm, a single person helicopter.
Yeah, one man.
With no goddamn canopy on it.
Yeah.
He sits in open air.
It's just like a one man helicopter.
And then it's got like a huge laser gun on the front.
Yeah.
And
it's
then,
like those kites that have a lawnmower engine on the back that people can fly around in.
Yeah.
I don't even know what they're called, you know, other than like death machine.
Yeah.
So they, you
know, and then
they tend to just like fall out of the air.
They had the pinnacle of my G.I. Joe collecting was a couple years into the Joe run. So we're talking like third or fourth wave of figures.
Right.
And they released this huge Cobra helicopter called the Cobra Mamba.
Oh, it's so cool.
And it was like a two-foot-long helicopter with twin blades, except the blades were overlapping.
Yeah, and
so
they went
spun
against each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Counter, like one was clockwise,
and
one
there was a knob on the bottom you could spin,
oh,
and they would turn
God
the rotors. And on the front of the helicopter, on either side of the pilot's cockpit, were two escape pods,
yeah,
like small jets
they
that you could detach.
So cool.
The least practical device I have ever I can think of.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, and in my head, it's like, oh, and then there's jets on this helicopter, and each jet's got its own missiles, and this and this and this.
Sure.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, they were heavily, you know, it was Cobra. They were into over design.
Yeah.
It was like Volkswagen. It was completely over designed.
Great answer, John.
We could talk about G.I. Joe and Cobra vehicles all day, but we gotta go back. The trouble bubble was so stupid. I loved it. It was so dumb and I loved it. And I loved it, like in every episode, Destro was like, time for me to exit stage left. And he would get in a trouble bubble and fly away. Yes. Like, your legs are exposed, dude.
A guy with
a handgun takes the trouble bubble down.
The intro to the G.I. Joe movie, the terrible G.I. Joe movie,
yeah,
with the Cobra Law.
Yeah. What's this terrible bull? What is
where
this?
They introduce all this mystical bullshit.
Dude, it was awesome.
Okay.
It was so cool.
Pause.
Serpentor?
For the sake of our friendship, Serpentor came earlier. G.I. Joe the movie is where they introduced the idea that Cobra was actually descended from this race of secret snake man.
Yes, Cobra Law.
No,
Burgess Meredith
sucks.
Was Globulus.
Oh,
oh, man.
Anyway, the intro for the G.I. Joe movie where they like did a big budget remix version of the theme song.
It's the best.
The greatest cartoon intro of all time.
Hold on.
And in that intro, there is a scene where Snake Eyes...
Pause, just so we can find it.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So good.
Yes. And during this intro, there's a scene. They're fighting over the Statue of Liberty and going haywire.
Yeah.
And during one of the scenes, Snake Eyes is, like, flipping around in midair.
Yeah.
And somehow, he, lands on a trouble bubble and kicks the guy out.
He flips it over and the guy falls out.
And he takes it over and flies off.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's amazing.
Through the sky comes a evil cry. Cobra. Cobra!
So great. All right, but we digress.
Oh, but the part where G.I. Joe comes in is the best.
No, it is really good, but it's not for it.
It's a one. Boner.
All right, all right.
And that's the only way I can get an erection.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, I'm sorry, baby. You know we have to do it like this, okay?
Fight Cobra.
Let's go to the Google voicemail. It's ridiculous.
Unrelated, but if you are also looking for a way cooler version of something that you love, the Transformers movie version of the theme song by Lion.
It's so hot.
Holy shit.
Yeah, totally.
More than BCI, Transformer.
Oh, it's so hot.
I love it.
Okay. It's Nate. We haven't heard from Nate in a while.
Short and sweet, Nate.
Yeah. Laid it down.
Hey, nerds. This is Nate calling in with the question of the week. Sorry, I haven't called back since you've been back. Just I always remember like 2 or 3 days after the deadline. So love the question. Been bouncing it around. I'm going to go with the B-Wing from Star Wars. Heavy fighter. Always thought it was fun to fly in the video games. I think it'd be, I think it's pretty badass. All right. Have a great day. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I love the B-Wing.
I don't know what the B-Wing is.
Yeah, you do. I'll show it to you. You'll instantly know what it is. There you go. B-Wing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing's cool.
So cool. It had like the pod on the side that the
And you can fly
flew,
it up and down or sideways.
And the engine was right in the middle, and then it had wings that could move so it could like fold up and fly through thin like areas and stuff. Oh,
yeah.
The B-Wing is so cool.
It's visually very striking.
Not my favorite. I think my favorite Star Wars ship. Okay, my favorite Star Wars ship is the Millennium Falcon, but I'm saying my favorite.
Your favorite Rebel ship.
Yeah, the Millennium Falcon. But Rebel ship, God, it's got to be the A-Wing. I love the A-Wing.
See, I'm an X-Wing guy. I just think it's so simple.
The snow speeder. Oh, my God. Those things were amazing. I remember I got that toy. I lost my shit. I was like, screw you, X-Wing. Snow speeder. That is where it is at. They were so cool. Ugh. And we're going to do this for everyone that says a toy line. We're going to be like, all right, 20-minute conversation about toys we used to have. Remember when life didn't suck? Remember when you were happy and you had toys? Anyway. Sorry. Go back to the Google voicemail. Guess who it is?
Hey, honey, it's me. I was just thinking about fictional vehicles. And I don't know how there's any choice, but the DeLorean from Back to the Future is being the coolest fictional vehicle. It's fast, it's versatile, and best of all, it's stylish.
It goes at least 88.
It's like making out in front of a flux capacitor. So, chew on that. All right, well, I'll talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
I think Mystery Husband just asked if we wanted to make out. Which I mean, like the answer is yes, but I mean, like I think that's in front of the DeLorean.
How unexpected!
In the DeLorean, like
with the flux capacitor, fluxing.
We can go all the way in the DeLorean, dude. And we're married. It's fine. We're married.
Bucket seats. I don't know. That's all that equipment.
You just got to get creative. That's all.
Seems impractical.
Here's a man who knows how to get creative in a car, Mr. Randy Andrews.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week.
Overpowering
me with audio. I know it's later than normal, but I wanted to answer the question on favorite fictional vehicle.
This is Avengers.
Well, guys, I'd have to say it's the TARDIS.
Oh, it's Doctor Who music. Sorry.
TARDIS.
I think I've made this mistake before.
Time and relative dimension in space. Hey, you can even use it as a recreational vehicle because, of course, it's bigger on the inside and it can travel in time and space. I always loved Doctor Who. I always loved the elements of the TARDIS. I love the episode of Doctor Who where they journey to the center of the TARDIS. I think it's just a blast and it's a fun ship to be able to fly through time and space in. Because they can park it basically anywhere. So that's my answer this week, guys. Hope you liked it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And check out my podcast.
That's
on
right.
Soundtrack Alley Podcast on iTunes. Yes, I have officially started my podcast.
All right.
I've got a few bumps along the way. It may say there's an explicit tag on it. I'm trying to fix that. There is no explicit tag. It's just normal. So, of course,
it's me, this Randy week,
my music is, of course, from Doctor Who. And it is I Am the Doctor. So that's it this week, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. And see you in a week. Bye for now.
This is Randy Andrews saying bye for now, assholes.
The TARDIS. Joe Patrick, what does TARDIS stand for?
Well, Randy did say it, but we were too busy talking over him like a couple of rude jerks.
Did he?
Yes. It stands for time and relative dimensions in space.
That's true. TARDIS.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. We were just excited about the music, Randy.
We were being retardus. Apologize.
We get so excited when we think we know what music you're using.
Couple of retarduses.
But I believe you've tricked me with that Doctor Who music before.
Yeah, I think he has.
I thought you were going to say the Helicarrier.
You fall for it every time. Thank you, Randy. It's good to hear from you, brother. One hint, and this is just a little hint. Roll back on your mids. Roll up on your treble just a little bit. It'll make your voice sound beautiful. Love you, buddy. Can't wait to hear the show. Let's go back to the voicemail.
What would be my answer for the
question? Whoa, the quiet guy?
Favorite fictional vehicle. Mm-hmm. And then I was transported... What would be my answer for the question of the week? Favorite fictional vehicle. And then I was transported back
Jeff?
To the 1980s when my parents took me to see a wildly inappropriate movie for my age.
This Jeff hit.
And three friends, soon before, got together.
Yes.
They formed a team that was there to protect New York City from giant marshmallow monsters, ghosts, and really, really people with really small penises. And that, of course, is the Ghostbusters and their wonderful machine, the Ecto-1.
Correction.
Which is quite possibly
this man has
the
no
best
deck.
Use of a hearse, other than actually being a hearse. So that's my answer. The Ecto-1, favorite fictional vehicle. Bye, guys.
Jeff hit the beginning of his call got like...
I think the recording kicked in mid-sentence.
Yeah, messed up a little bit. That was Jeff hit.
I think that was Jeff hit.
Yeah, I think it was. And he was talking about the Ecto-1. It's true.
This man has no dick.
Well, that's what I heard! Well, that's my favorite. He starts fighting. He's like, that's what I heard.
The Ecto-1 is wonderful. I love the Ecto-1. I think it's...
Fantastic vehicle.
Super great.
Very near and dear to my heart. Let's go to Tim Benson. Seeing as Daredevil does not have a vehicle, I don't know where he's going to go with this one.
The title of his MP3 is A Horse, of course.
Huh.
Tim Benson, calling in on the vehicle. You joked about it, but yeah, my favorite vehicle is a horse. I'm not actually specific about which horse. It doesn't matter. Like, you take a really cool character, or they don't even have to be very cool, actually. Like She-Ra, Black Knight. Supergirl, give him a horse, and I'm in. I like it. So, Swift Wind is She-Ra's horse. It's a male horse, just FYI.
Aragorn, so it's tough.
Which is Black Knight's horse. Comet, Supergirl. I don't know why Supergirl has a horse, but she does. But it doesn't matter which
Not
one.
For riding.
I'm picking three. I'm just saying, like, my favorite vehicle is a horse. All right, thanks.
Okay, so, Tim. We asked you to pick your favorite fictional vehicle.
And he just loves it when a comic book character rides a horse.
Here's my problem. Horses are not fictional. So you can't just say a horse.
He named Swift Wind.
What horse?
Aragorn.
That's what I need to know. I mean, what horse? Come on.
Let's just go with Swift Wind. He's a big She-Ra fan.
And if we're talking horses, the coolest horse out there, coolest fictional horse. Remember Ookla the Mock from Thunder of the Barbarian?
I do.
Remember that weird looking horse thing that he wrote? Had the bug eyes and like a lizard fin?
Yeah.
That thing was awesome.
But is that a horse?
I don't know what the hell it is. It was so cool. And we all know the coolest horse out there is 3030, Bravestar's horse, because he could stand up and fire a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to beat.
Yeah. And then Bravestar would be like, get down on all fours, buddy.
Yeah, it was 3030. 3030.
Brave Star is done for the day.
Did 3030 talk like a human being? He was like,
yeah, no, he did.
You want to do what? Bend over. Trust me.
Get on my back, Brave Star. It's time to go home. You know.
Okay. Let's just say that Tim is saying 3030 is his favorite fictional.
Yeah, nice job, Tim. You picked 3030 because you love horses. There's so many cool horses. Remember Stridor? That horse was awesome.
I do remember Stridor.
It was a robot horse from He-Man, the Masters Universe. It did not move at all.
No.
No moving parts.
No.
None.
The guns moved on the figure.
Yeah, they would like roll around. That's it. But he was just this robot horse.
But he had armor you could take on and off.
Yeah, and you would stick your He-Man guy on it, and it was just...
I don't know if he was a robot horse or a horse that had, like, cyborg parts.
No, he was a full-on robot horse. There was nothing...
Well, he definitely had robot legs.
I'll find you a picture of him.
Dude, I know what Stridor looks like.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be saying this.
I had Stridor.
If you knew what Stridor looked like, you would not be saying this.
I'm saying...
He's a full-on robot horse.
Did Stridor have regular horsey parts?
No. Man, all kinds of weird. Here you go. Tell me if that looks like a regular horsey part to you. That is a robot horse, dude.
Yeah, you're right.
Full on robot. Okay. Stridor robot. Okay. Settled. That is Tim's favorite horse. Stridor. There we go. In a hole where you stuck your He-Man guy. Oh, we are going to do this somehow we managed to go to toys without someone even bringing them up there. Let's go to the Orca. I hope his favorite vehicle is the whale that Submariner shows up on sometimes.
Okay, favorite fictional vehicle. I'm going to cheat a little bit and do two, but it's just because they fit together. This is the Orca, by the way, if you couldn't tell. But the two vehicles fit together. I couldn't pick between which one was my favorite. It's either the Winnebago or the gigantic starship from Spaceballs. Because
Mega Man.
The Winnebago, come on, that's just hysterical.
Eagle One. We just talked about Eagle
and
One
the
on the show.
And the liquid Schwartz and the dinginess of it and all the jokes that came along were great. But probably if forced to choose, I would choose the big, long starship that starts off the movie that's so long, goes on forever, and... President Scrooge is like, I have to run or the movie would be over. And all the different things, the Mr. Coffee next to the Mr. Radar, when they're getting ready to do ludicrous speed, like Colonel Sanders reels off all the instructions about cancel the three-ring circus and all that. Dad just, I love that movie.
Secure all the animals in the zoo.
In the end, when it switches... to like the Statue of Liberty with a vacuum or whatever.
Mega
and
Man.
It's Lone Star hits the self-destruct button and the announcement comes on. This is your last chance to hit the cancellation button. And they run down the stairwell and they open the little hatch where this button is and it's got an out of order tag on it. And they're like, oh, it's just that made Orca's day. So that's my answer. The big long spaceship from Spaceballs. Kiss, kiss, nerds.
Okay. Spaceball One is what it was called.
Yeah, Spaceball One.
Spaceball One.
Yeah.
And the Winnebago was the Eagle One.
And after it explodes and falls down to the unnamed planet,
Druidia.
No. They are above Druidia, but it doesn't crash on Druidia.
Oh, that's right, because Druidia had a big shield around.
Yeah. the head is stuck out of the sand, Statue of Liberty style from Planet of the Apes, and there are apes from, so maybe it's Earth, spoilers, and the apes see Lord Helmet and Colonel Sanders climbing down from the remains, and the ape goes, oh, shit. Spaceballs.
Such a great movie.
Anyway, that's Spaceballs. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, we're getting another Spaceball movie. The Spaceball sequel has been greenlit.
Search for More Money?
Search for More Money.
Holy shit.
And that is what they are calling it.
Don't die first, Mel Brooks.
Oh, I know. Please, God. Clay Staley. You haven't heard from this guy in a while. He also sent us his band's homemade rough demos. I'll check those out.
Hey guys, it's Clay, the nickname Staley, currently Rez from Portland.
Forgot about that.
Haven't called for a while because I desperately wanted to attach one of my band's songs to the What You've Been Doing Over the Summer episode. And it's literally taken until now for them to finally get done. And now I'm too lazy to do it. So, oh well. But normally when these questions go out, I sit there thinking forever on what the hell I'm going to answer. And a lot of times I don't have the most comic book knowledge for traditional superhero comics. And so a lot of these questions are kind of tough for me. But man, this is the only one that something immediately came to mind. And that is that no fictional vehicle has brought me more joy than the Warthog in Halo. Pretty sure other people are going to have this answer, but I'm very competitive and need to win the answer of the week, so just give it to me. But, man, the Warthog is the greatest thing. The
Warthog is pretty cool.
A lot of people want to contend that just the multi-person shooter aspect of Halo was the secret to its success or its physics engine. I contend that it's the Warthog. Whether it's in Halo Combat Evolved, where you had the invincible Warthogs that could fling you 2 miles in the air, to Halo 2, where my friends and I would just sit around in the dorm room, crashing them into each other and playing Demolition Derby with no actual end game, to Halo 3, where there were elaborate races with ramps and loops, and we invented our own games, like one where a guy just drives another guy around in the Warthog who's sitting in the passenger seat with a no-scope sniper rifle. Then you have the other guys run around with beam swords, and we called it Safari. Man, no other vehicle has singularly dominated the game. And it's like a Hummer, except maneuverable and light, and not owned by some horrible old person at a golf course.
2 minutes. And Hummers don't explode. And the Warthog doesn't explode when you get shot, like Hummers do. The Warthog is a completely badass vehicle. That's a
hot take.
Great answer.
Hot take. You ready? You got to have a hot take last week.
All right, all right.
I don't like Halo.
You're wrong.
No.
Halo is probably the best first-person shooter out there.
I am not interested in Halo at all.
I play through every Halo game for the story. You know what? The last Halo, Halo 5, I did not even attempt to play multiplayer. I played through it just for the story. And the stories are nonsensical and stupid. I totally admit it.
I find it...
Like, I've got this affinity for Master Chief. I don't know what it is.
I find it so completely uninteresting.
Oh, I love the Master Chief, man. I love Halo.
I hate it.
Ugh, whatever.
No, that's not fair. I don't even hate it. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm not interested in playing it. I'm not interested in the lore. All respect to Clay Staley, who appreciates it a lot, and I respect that. I could give a shit.
Man, those Warthog battles were so much fun. Oh, my God. You never got online and played with us multiplayer when we were playing Halo. It's a good time. Halo's fun, man.
Look, you can play multiplayer in a lot of different games.
I know.
Like, you can't tell me that multiplayer Halo is any more fun than, like, multiplayer Gears of War or multiplayer Overwatch or...
I can absolutely tell you that because they were the guys that sort of pioneered the best multiplayer play.
Whatever, dude.
And none of those new games that you love would be what they were without Halo.
Maybe, but I played...
Up your Halo hate.
I played their newest game, Destiny, for a couple of weeks and I got to a point where it's like, this is boring. Yeah, I don't care.
But the patch fixed all that and now Destiny is awesome.
What good is buying a game that you have to wait for a patch to make it good?
Well, I bought the game when I got it for free on Gold, and then I paid for the patch.
It's awesome.
Destiny's so great.
I'm sorry, Clay, I don't like Halo.
Whatever. Mr. Jeffrey, gotta catch them all. Quick pause. Here's the other thing you guys can do. If you don't have a way to get the music into your call or whatever, say, hey, Matt, can you put the Firefly theme song under my call? I'll totally do it for you.
I like the enthusiasm about the lo-fi attempts.
Yeah. Nerd, JD gotta catch them all. Your resistant Poke Trainer, emailing in for the question of the week.
Resistant.
My favorite fictional vehicle, if you haven't already guessed by the music, is the 03K64 Firefly-class transport ship known as the Serenity. That's right. the titular ship from the Firefly series in this movie of its same name. Much like the Millennium Falcon, it's a realistic ship.
Well,
I know that's a weird word to use in science fiction, but it's maybe a better word is relatable ship. You believe people live on this ship. You believe
people work
on this ship. You can see how the ship was designed, and all of its design work fits. Because of its lived-in quality, it becomes a character in the show. In fact, Joss even said that the Serenity is the 10th character in the show. And for all those qualities, that is why the Serenity is my favorite fictional vehicle. It's just, I love the look of it. It's blend of insect qualities and bird qualities. I could go on forever, but really it's just, it's a realistic lived-in ship that adds to the story and makes you want to know what happened there. And I think that's what's important in a fictional vehicle. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. I loved that ship, the Serenity, the Firefly class.
Yeah, I think it's so nifty. Cool. You describe it very well. It feels real.
Yeah.
Though it's clearly not. It does feel like a big RV or a submarine, you know, where like it's close quarters and you get a sense of kind of a crowded space that people are sharing.
Yeah.
And yeah. It feels real.
It feels kind of clunky and crappy, you know, like it could be space junk, you know, but they're holding it together with duct tape and, you know, I kind of love that. That's one of the reasons I love the Millennium Falcon so much, is because the Millennium Falcon was this ridiculous looking ship that was kind of thrown together and it looked like a big piece of junk, and that's what made it so cool.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, great answer. I'm surprised it took us that long to get there. Thank you. Always nice to hear from you, Mr. Ketchmull. Mr. Hebrews is up next.
Hey, Joe and Matt and listeners, it's Ryan Mount, aka Hebrews, calling in with the answer of the week. Last minute here, so I'll make it quick. Let's just call it the Dinosaurs and Dino Riders. If you were a fan of toys in the 80s, and you wanted laser guns on top of your dinosaurs, yeah, that's what the greatest vehicle of all time is. All right, nerds, check out my columns over at horrorwriters.net and my continuing coverage on Two-Headed Nerd. Hebrews out.
The Dino Riders were so f***ing cool. I remember being so excited about that cartoon. Dino Riders came out about the same time as like Visionaries, and there was another cartoon called Air Raiders. And the Air Raiders all had like hovercrafts. And I was like, this is so cool. I was so into it. And there was like 3 episodes and it was gone. And they had like toys. And I remember I wanted all the toys.
Tiny little dudes in pods on the necks of giant dinosaurs.
That was Air Raiders.
They were Dino Riders. No, Matt. They were little dudes that rode in pods on the necks of dinosaurs. Those aren't Air Raiders. Those are Dino Riders.
I'm going to prove you wrong again.
Dino Rider is
yeah, dude, here you go. This look like a tiny little guy and a dinosaur. No, the Air Raiders were tiny little guys that rode in pods. The Dino Riders are like 6 inches tall, like G.I. Joe guys.
G.I. Joe guys are 3¾ inches tall.
Or whatever, they're not
giant action figures.
They were the same size. That's what I'm saying. It was the little ones. Air Raiders were the little tiny dudes. Like you could swallow them.
I didn't mean that little.
Oh, because Air Raiders were tiny little guys. The Dino Riders were, 3-inch tall, just like G.I. Joe men. They were so cool though. Oh, I love the Dino Riders.
Never saw it.
Oh,
I mean, I remember
commercials
and ads and stuff, but they were so great. I didn't have none of those.
I had to dig into it because I was just like such a weirdo about that stuff. Everything. It's why I dig into music. It's why I dig into movies. I'm a nerd, man.
It was just like one of many. I don't remember what the impetus would have been for these sorts of things, but like,
let's make money on toys.
Real thing. No, I mean like real thing that turns into something that fights, you know, like Mask.
But Mask is just a ripoff of the Transformers and G.I. Joe. That's all it was.
Yeah, man. But it's like a
Dino Riders. Like, hey, what do kids like? Dinosaurs. What else they like? Guns.
Yes, but like,
put guns on dinosaurs.
Without the success of things like Mask, there would have been no Dino Riders. There was like it was definitely like a wave of very similar things.
This was all stuff that was at the end of that like golden age of we make cartoons to sell toys. Like, this was stuff that was like, we want to do it too. And we've got, you know, all this other crap. And it was towards the end, the, you know, there was a boom and then there was a bust, as in all things. Let's go back to the Google Voice line.
I mean, they do look cool.
They're so cool. I loved them. They're really hard to find too. Like, nobody had them.
Hey nerds, Locust here, calling in my answer to the question of the week. Down to the wire, so I had to phone it in instead of MP3. But I'm finally going to make it this time. I've been needing to answer over the last 4 or 5 questions since we came back, and I keep blowing it off. You know, I suck at this stuff. But
settle down.
Anyway, my answer to the question of this week is the car from Riding Bean. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. It was a, what do you call it? Not a Magnum. You know what I'm talking about. One of those Japanese cartoons back in the late 80s about this private detective kind of guy or driver guy. He had this really cool car, and it was like bulletproof, drove really fast. It had like almost like sword blades that would come out of the hubcap of the wheel, like a, almost like a flower. To like for brakes, you know, like if you had to like emergency stop, these blades would come out and drill into the ground. And but the coolest aspect of this car was within the steering wheel, there was another littler steering wheel, and you could use that littler steering wheel to turn all 4 of your tires parallel, and you could drive sideways. And it was the coolest thing. He would like, people would come up to him and start blasting him in the car, and the bullets would be flying off. He just turned that inside wheel and put him right up against the wall. Cool stuff. Check it out if you haven't seen it. All right, guys, later.
You could also parallel park the out of your car. People would be like, how did he get in there?
Riding Bean.
Yeah, it was an anime. I'm aware of it. I've never seen it. I remember... You know, I remember seeing DVDs of it when we worked at Krypton.
It looks just like a normal car. I mean, very cool, like a very cool sports car.
Yeah, it did a bunch of stuff. Riding Bean.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Man, this guy looks tough as nails.
He was pretty tough.
He's got a big old chin.
Nick Garcia says, I respect the deadline! In all caps. And then he said, I know the deadline passed about 3 hours ago.
He asked me. He said, because he hadn't been calling in since we came back.
Yeah, no, I missed it.
Black Scorpion the 3.
Yeah.
And I said...
We called him out a few weeks ago.
Right. And he said, I have an answer, but it's so late. And I said, send it in.
Scorpion the 4, like, murdered his father, right, as all Black Scorpions do to take their power.
Right.
Right.
And so he sent this in late with my blessing.
Okay. Is this the last call?
Last call.
All right.
Nerds, this is Black Scorpion number 3, and I've missed you. It's been a while. I mean, first, it was because I was out of the country during the summer, but also I gave up on keeping up on new comics, so I'm afraid I was disqualified from answering questions about comics I couldn't quit or ideas for Rebirth, but I'm back.
Fair enough.
This is one that I can weigh in on. Congratulations to the new Goocher. D. Murray has definitely earned the title, and I hope he wears it with pride. My answer for favorite vehicle is actually something that I think enhanced a character and caused me to reconnect with him. It's probably the greenest vehicle in comics that isn't generated by a power ring. It's a vehicle driven by Tooth Gnasher and Tooth Grinder. It's Thor's Chariot.
Nice.
I've always loved Thor, but sometime around 3rd or 4th grade, I became fascinated by Norse mythology, and it made me have my doubts about Marvel's Thor. And then Walt Simonson started using Thor's Chariot pretty regularly in the mid-80s, and I stopped doubting that this blonde pretty boy was the real deal. You bring 2 sweet goats with metal names like Tooth Gnasher and Tooth Grinder into battle, I'm sold. And unlike some other vehicles, it seemed like this was one that connected a character to his history rather than just presenting a novel new gadget, and I appreciate that. So that's my answer. Till next time, nerds. Good to be back.
It's a great answer. I want to start a stoner metal band called Tooth Grinder. It's too good. Can you see it written in all like scary metal letters? Yeah. Great.
I definitely can.
Oh, that was a great answer. Yeah. How do we pick our favorite?
I don't know. Normally you just chicken out and say that we're not doing it.
No, we're picking our favorite. I picked John Littrell, and I'm picking John Littrell for more than one reason. I'm picking John. One, because it reminded me how cool those Cobra toys were and their vehicles were. 2, he spawned like a 10-minute G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I agree.
Discussion.
I am also giving it to John Luttrell for that exact reason, because his answer just got us so giddy.
Oh, yeah. Got us going. Like, we weren't even drunk. We just started going.
And so I will say this without hesitation. My favorite toy line growing up, without a doubt, was G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm I'm in the tank for anything G.I. Joe related.
So if somebody would have said Optimus Prime is my favorite fictional vehicle, would that count?
No, I would not count Optimus Prime as a fictional vehicle, because Optimus Prime is a sentient being.
But he's also a truck.
He's not a truck.
You could get in him.
He's a robot in disguise.
Spike and his dad got in him and drove around all the time.
I'd have a moral
Nobody
quandary.
Nobody did it, so we don't have, but I'm just like.
I'd have a moral quandary.
I would have counted it. If someone would have said Bumblebee, I would have counted it. Okay, vehicle. Yeah.
Whatever.
Right. You counted 50-50. He's a sentient dude. He talks. He's got a shotgun.
No, hold up. We brought up 50-50, not Tim.
But you agreed it counts.
No, I'm not sold that a horse counts. No, a horse is not a vehicle.
Okay, so Silver wouldn't count. If somebody said my favorite vehicle is a Lone Ranger's horse, Silver.
I would say, if you want to say that Stridor is your favorite fiction
Strider's
vehicle.
Stridor's a robot. Yeah.
Stridor is a robot.
But like back in the day, there were no other vehicles. It's not like what it's like.
We talked about this. I said, if you gave me a piggyback ride, would you be a vehicle?
Yes.
And you said yes.
The answer is yes.
I don't agree with.
That's why the answer to my favorite vehicle is Blaster of Master Blaster. All right.
No.
I'm kidding. That's not my favorite vehicle.
But yes, John Luttrell, he gets my favorite just because it inspired so much discussion. It made me happy.
Okay. Do you want me to go first? You want you to
feel free. Go right ahead.
I can't believe nobody said this. I cannot believe no one said this.
Okay.
My favorite fictional vehicle is the USS Enterprise.
No, that's my answer, too.
How could it not be?
That's my answer, too.
Specifically.
USS Enterprise 1701D.
Okay.
From Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, that's mine, too. The Next Generation one.
Yeah. When I think of...
The USS Enterprise is the coolest spaceship there is. And every movie has a scene where they like show up at space dock and they're not on the Enterprise yet. And they have to like go through this long scan down like the ship. I get goosebumps every time.
And usually that's pretty great. Except
every time
in Star Trek, the motion picture, that scene lasts, no joke, 12 minutes.
Doesn't bother me. I love it. I love it. It's just Scotty and Kirk in that ship flying like, oh my God. It seriously gives me goosebumps and like tears in my eyes every time I see it. The USS Enterprise is my favorite fictional vehicle.
When I think of Star Trek, I think immediately of the Enterprise.
Sure.
Because, of course. And when I think of the Enterprise, what I picture is the Next Generation USS 1701D.
I remember that redesigned
Picard's Enterprise.
Oh my God. When we first saw that redesigned Enterprise, because my dad was a huge Trekkie. And so he took me to all the Star Trek movies and stuff. And when the Next Generation premiered, I remember watching it and like, we just hadn't seen, there was no internet. So we hadn't seen pictures of what the new Enterprise was going to look like. And when it showed up in the intro, we were both just like,
whoa.
I remember that it blew my mind. The idea that this Enterprise had families on it.
Yeah.
And like,
it was like a flying city.
Kirk's Enterprise was a military vessel.
Yes.
And yes,
they were a battleship.
They were on a 5-year mission for science and exploration.
Yeah,
but
the Enterprise itself is essentially a battleship. I mean, they were on a scientific exploration mission. They were not on but it was a warship.
It was
it was like a destroyer class. It was a warship. It had photon torpedoes and can't like
it had weapons, but it wasn't made for war.
If it needed to, it was built to whoop ass.
But every ship, regardless of its class in Starfleet, has weaponry.
Yes.
That's different. Yes. But
the Enterprise, the Class D was a flying city.
Yes,
it really was. And like, it just had, like you said, families living there. My favorite part of any sci-fi movie or like spaceship or whatever with large ship is the engine room, where you see all those guys working.
Yeah. Engineering.
Engineering.
Yeah.
And you see all those guys in engineering working, and nobody did that better than Star Trek. Like every time
went
to Scotty or Geordi LaForge, he was always walking past like seven guys that were super busy scanning something or typing stuff out, or like some dude was like touching something and falling down. And So cool.
So it had a thousand people, just over a thousand people, officers, enlisted, and scientists. So that doesn't count the families.
Yeah.
And
they encourage people to bring their families onto these deep space missions.
Right. And so it had a huge amount of people. And like you said, it is a city. They are living in it. They are breathing in it. Yeah. They are building lives in it. Some people are born in it.
Yeah.
And what I always loved most about the Enterprise, and really about a lot of almost all of the Star Trek series, and they have episodes like this, is that they can have complete, very fun, very compelling adventures without ever setting foot off the ship.
Yeah, right on the ship. Yeah.
And sometimes those episodes aren't the most well regarded, but like stuff where the holodeck comes to life, where they accidentally create a living being with the holodeck and it's Professor Moriarty. Like, I love that stuff.
It was
it's
great.
It's so stupid.
The episode with Lieutenant Barclay. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was such a fantastic episode. And it was all about the ship. It was all about the ship. It was so cool.
I almost kind of grew up with that ship, right? 7 years it was on the air.
Sure.
And then in the first movie that they were in, Generations, it gets destroyed.
Yeah.
And then they come back with the next one, and it's never been quite the same. But the Enterprise D is like going home when I watch shows with that.
And I love the original Enterprise too. Don't get me wrong, but I remember seeing Star Trek: The Next Generation at an age where it hit me, and this is my Star Trek.
Yep.
And man, I love that ship.
I do too.
Oh,
I do too.
It's my favorite.
So you picked a runner-up. What is it?
My runner-up is the X-Men's Blackbird. I loved X-Men's Blackbird in the 80s. Like, they're flying this SR-71, and they still kind of fly it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, and it's this old. Like, I loved the Blackbird.
You know what I hate?
It was so cool.
Is when they think they're too good to call it the Blackbird, and they call it something stupid like the X-Jet.
Yeah, it's so stupid. That's what they call the movies.
I understand that it might not always technically be a Blackbird.
Yeah.
But it's the Blackbird, okay?
It is. Yeah, it is an SR-71 Blackbird. Yeah. I loved that plane. I loved it when the X-Men flew it. It was so cool. And the movie, they didn't call it that. It was super disappointing.
Yeah. Ugh. Boy, if I had to pick a runner up, what would it be? Probably something from G.I. Joe. His tank is a great answer. It's a great answer.
But man, my favorite Cobra vehicle was the hydrofoil. That thing was amazing.
Piloted by a character named Lamprey.
Yes. The Moray was the hydrofoil.
And Lamprey was the pilot. The
driver pilot was Lamprey. Yes.
Man, yeah.
That thing was so cool. Ugh.
Yeah, honestly, I
just checked the I want it box on yojo.com. Oh, but I have to join Yojo Pro? F*** you.
Yojo Pro?
Cost money? Are you serious? F*** off.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not picking a runner-up. I love all the G.I. Joe vehicles. Star Trek also has a number of great vehicles. The USS Defiant, which is definitely so cool. A warship. It's built for war.
Oh, man, but the Romulan Bird of Prey was so cool. I love those Romulan ships.
I love that world. I love the design of all the ships. The Enterprise D, though, like, I wanted to live on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
So
this might have been the most fun I've had doing the question.
Yeah.
This was so great. We need to make the questions easier and toy related.
Well, too bad, because the next question is complicated.
Why don't we get into it? What is the next question?
All right. So more than one person asked essentially the same question. Dee Marie was one of them, but it came to me from our good pal, Patrick Cavanaugh, who asked, what comic book, either currently running or finally ended, overstayed its welcome? What book went on for way too long? What book still going do you think needs to go?
I love it.
Get it?
But pick one. Don't try to answer both. Pick one.
Yeah.
Get into it.
You have until this coming Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. This coming Friday is the 14th.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Don't let us down.
Our Alice Ball.
10 of you have already called, so if no more of you call, we're all right.
That's fine. The AI that controls the ziggurat, which styled itself after Alec Baldwin, because Alec Baldwin is a guy. It's going to tell you how to get a hold of us. Not always in the best mood. But thank you to everyone who called in. This is so great. I feel like the show This is going to win a podcast award, right? We're going to win
this. For sure.
For this, specifically for this episode.
Well, it all depends. Don't fall down in the editing.
Well, no, don't worry about that. Yeah, I'm a professional. What are you kidding me? Come on. Who are you talking to here? In the meantime, we'll have another episode of Two-Headed Nerd.
I'm a professional.
This weekend. But for now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Killdozer is my favorite fictional vehicle. Although Christine and the Green Goblin truck from Maximum Overdrive are tied for a close second, all three we're autonomous killers that took human life for the pure, psychotic joy of murder. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.